He was in the military, this like buff guy who I never would expect. Just turned to me. I was like, oh, I want, really want to introduce you to my wife. What do your pronouns real quick?
Hi, everyone. I'm Cammie Chaos.
And I am Rick Tarosi, and we are mildly interesting people. Because of that, we are always searching through our network of wildly interesting people to bring guests to chat with who are far more interesting than either the two of us. These folks might not yet be familiar to you, but to us, they're downright famous. Cammie, who is our guest this week?
You know, when you started switching over to that little tagline, I was thinking that our guest this week is definitely one of those people who's just kind of famous in our house. You don't know her as well as I do, but like celebrity status in my brain. they're just one of those people that when you meet them, you are all in. She has this level of enthusiasm for life and for caring for others and for advocating for herself and for others and making sure that people have what they need in this world, and it's contagious. And so today I would like to introduce you to my darling friend, Anne McCarthy.
Oh, Cammie, making me blush.
Hi, honey.
Hi. It's so good to talk with you and to talk with Rick more. I feel like I'm always just like popping in and out whenever I see you. And it's lovely to hold this virtual space together. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hi, Rick.
So, Rick, Anne, you guys both get to talk to me a lot. Do you guys need to say anything to one another? Any questions you want to start with before like we dive in and go down the rabbit hole?
Rick, you know, okay, I got a question.
Go, go.
Describe yourself in one word.
That's it.
No pressure.
It's not even a word. It's just,
What is that? Okay.
It might be meh, but it's more
Yeah. It's more than meh. I think.
Yeah.
Rick, any questions for Anne before we start?
I did my research, as I always do, whether I know people well or not. And I think for me, one of the aspects of Anne's life I'm most interested in just kind of exploring is the nomad experience. Like I moved a lot as a child, but I was always moving from place to place for very long periods of time. So I'm always intrigued by folks who remain on a journey as a nomad. And so that's one of the things I want to dig into. That doesn't have to happen right off the bat, but I would love to get into that at some point.
It can.
I would love to hear about your experience of also popping around, like as a kid. I think it's very different when you choose it versus when it's like, that's a
How did you choose it? How did you become? Because you're one of the nomads. You're one of the technical nomads. What are we?
Digital
nomads. That's the term I was looking for. How did you become a digital nomad?
Yeah, it's interesting. I try not to be, there's a quote I love that says like, be careful with what you attach to your identity, because that just will keep your identity small because you want to be able to evolve. And so nomad is something. My site that I blog on, nomad.blog, is something that I've actually toyed with changing just because I'm like, I don't want to be too attached to the identity. And I think nomading initially started for me. I was living in San Francisco. I did not travel a lot at all. Went through a breakup, was working for Automatic, and we work remotely. And so I was just like, well, I have nowhere to be. I've just moved my life across the country and survived. What if I just keep going? And like, where do I want to end up? And I noticed that like, depending on the situation I was in, there's like this theory around, there's not bad apples, there's bad barrels. Phillips and Bardo, because in Stanford Prison Experiment, which is a huge problem, but huge ethical violation. But I think about that a lot. It's like, there's situations that different parts of yourself can come out, and for better or for worse. And so I started playing with that a little bit, and was very fortunate to be able to change locations, and then just kind of stuck with it. Like, I think some of it was kind of cycle. So I'm not someone who is so insistent on the nomad identity that I will just leave a place for no reason. A lot of times I'm cool with staying, or I like having a home base. Sometimes I like departing and leaving. But I found it's allowed me to be present for births, deaths, and everything in between, graduations, just to go see someone's like childhood home, to go explore where they went to high school, like to go just do life differently with different people at different times. Maybe someone's having a great time and something really exciting is going on. Maybe someone's going through a really tough time, and just to be there and kind of replicate that, like, hey, I'm down the street. I'm here for the next couple months. Like, let's hang out. I think it's a really rich and interesting way to live, and a very privileged one. I think it's, I've talked to some friends who faced eviction, and housing insecurity is a huge issue, especially in the country right now, like in Seattle. And that's, so, you know, dating someone who's an eviction lawyer. So it's also very interesting to think about from that standpoint, and very horrifying. And so I think that the act of choosing it is very different psychologically than, you know, needing to move all the time. Yeah. So I do like to make that distinction of, it's a choice, and one that I am lucky that I can lose. I always say, like, you can lose time, sleep, or money, and I'm very lucky that I can lose any of those and be okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's kind of an evolving thing. I don't know. I don't know what it's going to look like in like 20 years, but we'll see.
Right. How does the nomad, not lifestyle, but how does the nomad experience lead to you and what you call life chats? So anyone who follows Anne on social media will know that she has lots of life chats with people. Wants you to pick your life chat bench, your life chat scenery, the life chat. Tell me, what is a life chat?
Yeah, I almost think of it as nomading is physically moving around, and a life chat is like emotionally nomading around, like exploring different topics and going really deep and staying there and then moving on. I think they do interrelate into like an innate sense of curiosity about the world. And so I think they're both, yeah, they feel very connected, actually. I haven't thought of it in that way, but yeah, they feel very connected, where I like to explore, I like to be curious, I like to bring others with me and do things with other people. So like my favorite way to nomad is with others. Like I can do it alone. I've done it a lot alone. but I love going on trips with friends and with loved ones. Yeah, the life chat stuff, it's tough. I think I've like been spoiled with amazing conversations and Camino. Like, I think you're one of those people for me where it's like, I love to survive off of, you know, talking to strangers when I need to, but there's also something about like traveling far and wide to like sit with people and to be in it with them and to sit across from them and to be in their space. It's really magical. And to me, that's part of what I think nomading has been. It's like the cream of the crop. Go and spend 2 weeks in an area and be with friends and have these like meandering, endless conversations where we're not dealing with a phone call.
Yeah.
Yeah, you lose track of all time and space, and you're just there with someone else. And I think being in person is really powerful. Like, I think it's very like evolutionarily powerful. So yeah, the nomading, I definitely, after COVID really impacted me because I had to really stay put. And afterwards, it switched from just like wanting to go far and wide to wanting to go to my loved ones. So like this past year, my travel was very different than it had been in the past. I like went and saw, shout out to Krebs, a friend of mine who first year as a professor, and I just like wanted to see them teach. And so I sat in a class and was like, just like nerding out and like saw them teach. Like, that's literally, I spent like a whole day just doing that. And like the whole next day was like walking with her dog through the park. And like, where do you walk your dog? Like, let's go and walk the same path. Like, I literally just, she's like, this is all you want to do in New York City? And I was like, yeah. Like, I just want to, I've been to
New York. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I've got a great path for, I have a great little nature path for us to go wandering on next time you're in town. So just saying.
It's super interesting. Like, something that hadn't dawned on me, but you mentioned phone calls. And I was thinking about, like, it's super interesting to me that that's one of those situations where something that with lower technology seemed to be something we could do for hours on end. But in modern day, like, oh, you only have so much battery life to have that like your headphones are going out or your phone is going out. And it's kind of changed that dynamic of what a phone call is, as opposed to like when I was a kid, you would stretch the cord as far as you could to go hide in the closet and like chat for 4 hours with your friend about it. Whatever. But yeah, that's super interesting. That hadn't dawned on me until you described it that way.
I would take my phone out in the backyard. Same thing. Stretch out the really long cord, pull it as far as I could, close the sliding glass door that my parents and my brother couldn't listen to me. And then just like sit on the steps or just like tiny pace back and forth and talk for hours and hours and hours. And I don't talk on the phone at all anymore. I'm like,
it's like what medium you all like to keep in touch with people. Cause that's something that I've started asking people more and more. Is like, what's your medium? Do you because like audio messages are really big now. Like I have a bunch of friends. We'll literally send each other podcasts. Like one, the professor friend, they'll send me like a 30-minute long audio recording where it's like them in their bath, just like talking to me about whatever. Like it's just like, it's very cute and I love it. Like it's very, very fun. But I'm curious, like, do you all have a favorite medium for chatting with folks?
I think that's part of it's not part of the reason. That's most of the reasons we started the podcast is it's deeply social and I get to talk to people and I get to pull out this amazing information and we get to share these people that we've been blessed to have in our lives with other folks. So that is one. I'm a texter. I like texting. I do it in spurts. There are some people that like will text me. We have one friend in common, Brooke, who will text me. And then I will respond and be like, I'm not ignoring you. I can't text right now. I can't. Yeah. I don't have it in me. And she tells me she loves me and she'll talk to me later. And then when I text 3 weeks later, she's so excited to see me. She's like, oh, look, you survived. And we're right back where we left off. And so I really, it's the goodness of automated technology and a pen pal at the same time for me.
Pen pal. That's like, I've had to train some friends with texting where I'm like, I want to hear from you, not in a like rushed way, but in a like respond when you can. Like that is another weird thing about modern technology where I think we did go through a period, or at least I did, where it was like, I just was on my phone 24/7, just texting. Yeah. Like, I think I sent like 14,000 text messages in a month when I was like 15, 16. And my dad's like, what are you doing? What are you even in school? And I think that's, like going to like writing long text messages and like just responding when you can and not worrying about it, I think is something I hope more people. Because I agree with you. I love words. That's my favorite.
I love non-urgent texting. Like my daughter, every time she texts, it's urgent. She wants to know something. She wants to share something. And it's like right now. And for me, I'm like, okay, we have to change the level of immediacy with which you expect the response. Because it's just not how I do it. I'm best to hike uphill both ways in the snow to go to school kind of age. We didn't have texting when I was a kid. I didn't even have email until I was a full grown adult.
Wait, what was it like when texting came out? Was it like a huge relief? Like I know for me, whenever texting limits got unlocked, I was like, oh, this is the best thing ever. Like I do remember it being like a huge relief to be able to text as much as I wanted.
I wasn't a huge texter until the iPhone. So because having to hit like what it was just the dial pad and you had to like hit each key a certain number of times to get each letter. I was like, oh my God, my thumb is tired. What is happening? Why am I even doing this? Just send me an email, please. But as soon as texting became prevalent on a mini keypad and then on, computer connectivity, it became, it is my lifeline for communication with people.
That's really cool.
Rick?
So on the communicating with people front, it tends to be usually kind of one-on-one live conversation, be it virtually or in person. That tends to be my most effective way of keeping up and connecting with people. I really do like the written word, but I find that in terms of understanding your target market, I am capable of generating a great deal of content very rapidly. I realize other people don't have the time or bandwidth to consume that much content. So it's usually the highest fidelity is usually in person in short bursts. Like I can't do hours upon hours with people on a regular basis, but like a coffee or a beer or something along those lines is pretty workable for me. And so I think that's my preferred format. I think I don't even think about texting or being on Slack or being on email. Like that's just, it is what it is. It's not even really, it's perfunctory and not really a means of connecting. It's just a tactical way of communicating with folks. And then I've never really been a huge texter. Like I will text, but like I don't get into long text conversations. It's more like, and most of it is because I'm highly keyboard driven. Like I had to take typing school in junior high. I'm going to continue to use that for the rest of my life. And Mavis Beacon gave me all the skills I needed to type as much as I want. So I feel that like my thumbs don't move as fast as my brain. And so I need 10 fingers at my disposal to communicate that way via text. So, yeah, I think I do text, but I tend to do it from my desktop in iMessage or WhatsApp or Slack or whatever.
Nice. I found an amazing one. I have one friend who didn't know you could connect. She's a teacher and she didn't know you could connect to your phone, like your iPhone. And she writes really long text messages, like really wonderful, thought out, beautiful, like it is like 1800 letters, like on like, you know, the frontier kind of style texting. It's incredible. But she does it all by hand. And so the other day I was like, hey, sorry, I read this on my computer and then like forgot to respond or something like that. And then like wrote this long thing because it was kind of like, she was asking for advice and I kind of missed the window. And she was like, wait, what do you mean you texted from your computer? And I was like, you can write it. Like it gets to that arrow, like that thing in Google where it's like to read more, you have to click on this freaking arrow and see the whole thing. Like, it was like, it blew my mind. Like it made it, it was so interesting. It's such a technological thing, but it was like, wow. It felt like she like handwrote me the letter because it was like, she typed it with her tiny little thumbs for probably like an hour. Like, you know, like, I was like, meanwhile, I'm over here like blaze writing with my computer. Like, yeah, it was really like a weird meaningful moment where I was like, for years she's been doing this and I had no idea that she just didn't know.
That's so sweet.
Isn't that the sweetest? Like I was like,
it is so sweet.
Love that.
Well, and that's my new Instagram rabbit hole is the handwrite everything, but take a picture of it and post it to Instagram. Like that kind of thing I find super interesting as of late.
Rick has amazing handwriting. So I think you should be doing personally more of that rather than just like understanding,
consuming,
sharing,
it.
And
I should be producing it.
The world is, you know, the world is not better for you not sharing your handwriting.
What sort of stuff would you write if you did handwriting stuff?
Oh, I would just write snarky startup business stuff. I wouldn't do anything of any merit. Why would I waste my time with that?
No poetry?
Yeah, no, probably not.
He's not a poet. Mm. He doesn't. He accepts the poetry as a written art form.
I've studied poetry.
Yeah,
well, quite a bit.
I'm the
but
poet
I'm prose.
In my household.
I'm the prose guy.
All right, I want to take a huge detour. There's something I really want to talk to you about because I know it's something that you're comfortable talking about and that a lot of people don't have someone that they can listen to or will listen to or will hear. So I want to talk about pronouns, Anne.
Let's do it.
You know that I have a lot of familial experience around pronouns and the use of pronouns and the changing of pronouns. And you have pronouns that are not what everyone would expect, right? You don't have she, her pronouns. You don't have they, them pronouns. You have she, they pronouns. So share with people, because I know you and I sat next to one another in a DEI workshop once. And one, I asked the instructor to talk more about two things, one, pronouns, and two, fluidity. And I don't know if you remember her answer, but her answer was to ask me to tell her because she didn't know.
Yeah, I do remember that. And I was like, ooh. Which is also like very real and vulnerable, but it also was like, man.
It was. I mean, I appreciate it, but like she was employed to teach us. And so talk to me about your pronouns, like you specifically and your pronouns and how you use the two different pronouns. And also, so, like, you're significantly younger than we are. And so this kind of is just part of your generation growing up and being able to select the way that you present and the way that you are viewed and held in this world. And I don't think it's something that either Rick or I ever imagined as kids. Let's just go down that path.
I love this. This is so good. I also, Rick, I feel like one of the episodes I listened to, you're saying, you're like, we have long meandering questions and people get lost. And I was like, oh, please do that. I love that. I'm like, Tammy, I'm like hanging on every, I'm like, let's go. Because it is so complex and it is so fluid and it is so like, people do get up in arms about it. Like my parents included, like I had my mom was having a really hard time with it at one point, and they know about everything. Like I identify as being agender. So like, I just don't relate to gender like in that way. Like if I'm looking at the spectrum, I just feel like I'm somewhere around, if it's ever made sense to me. And growing up, I was like, you know, they were possibly a tomboy and all that sort of stuff. And I sometimes would get misgendered. Like I remember going to my brother and I were going to Taurus in school or something like that. And they were like, oh, your son's da 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 da. My mom was like horrified. And I remember it like didn't even save me either way. Like, wasn't like, yes. And I also wasn't like, oh my God, what did you just say? like it was just kind of like a neutral thing. Like I remember being like, why are you upset about this? Like, this is just someone made a mistake. And so, yeah, I think it's interesting. My pronouns, I feel like were something that I started playing with in a way of like kind of paying attention to what felt good. Before I understood a lot of the stuff around gender. Like it was one of those things where I heard agender and I was like, yeah, that makes sense. And then I was just like, she, her's fine. And then at a certain point, I started seeing like they, them, and I was like, they, them all the time doesn't feel great. Like, I don't love that. Like, I think that that is just like, for me, I was like, I don't want to go all the way there. That felt like being a gender, that felt like a big leap. But then when I saw someone, I can't remember who the first, it probably was at a Lesbians Who Tech conference, which is a wonderful in San Francisco, and they also one in New York City and what have you. And I think someone there used she, they, and I was like, wait, you can do that? Like, it's like, what? And it's basically just like, use it interchangeably. But a lot of times, one of the things I've noticed now is like, whatever is used first, it's almost like free reign. Like some people say, like, use that more frequently. So it's a frequency thing. So for me, it's not. For me, it's like equal weighting. So it can change. Like for, I think for some folks, it is like, you'll see they, she, and it's basically saying like, use they more often, but you can also use she, and that's fine. For me, she, they is just like, I wish I could say, I didn't do it here with slash, but I probably should use that like straight line or something that's just like, use either of them. And what's neat is actually, I've noticed the last year in particular, I have noticed people, whether it's like right up in like a something with work or someone pinging me at work, that more people are using the they, them. And one of the things that's also interesting is like the second you add like a they in, I notice people, which Cammy did a great job, like I like it interspersed. It doesn't need to be 50-50. It's like I could hang out with you, you can use they, them the whole time. I can hang out with you, be here the whole time. Some people it's different. Like it is a very personal thing. But the interspersed is fun. Like whenever I'm writing a bio for myself, I intersperse it intentionally because I want it to be like, I want someone to feel comfortable like tumbling through the different options and how it feels. Because that's how it feels to me. Like, it's like, I don't like he, him. Like, I get he, him a fair amount. But that's just like not, I know some people who are like all pronouns work, and that is definitely not where I'm at when it comes to being a gender. But I also don't mind it. Like, it doesn't bother me if that happens. But yeah, I think pronouns are like a fascinating exploratory thing. I also know some folks who, I do think would be interesting, but I don't love my name, but where they have no pronouns and just use their name. Esther Perel actually had a really interesting podcast episode where it was someone who just used, human save a pronoun, like just used the name. And then Esther Perel just messed it up the entire time and like openly talked about it. Like it was really beautiful, wonderful, like, podcast episode. I'm sure it was really hard for the person. But yeah, it's just like the person's name. And I think that would be interesting if I was like more tied to my name. But yeah. I think Anne is just like a, like, yeah, Anne's Anne.
I answer to it.
Yeah. I like my middle name. I've thought about going by my middle name, which is Guyon, G-U-I-O-N. Because it's just weird and it feels agender. It feels like it doesn't have a connotation. I think there'd be a ton of pronunciation issues, but I've thought about that. Like if I switch jobs or if I reach a certain point, I think that would actually feel good, which ironically is my mother's father's name. When I told my mom about it, she was like, oh, that'd be awesome. You should totally do it. And then I was like, you do know that like your friends, like I have no problem saying this, they're quite conservative. Like I was like, that would probably confuse your friends. Like I was just like, just a heads up. And that explicitly, I was like, cause it's, you know, it's her family name. I was like, I would use it as related to gender and I want you to feel comfortable.
Yeah.
I haven't revisited that, but that is a conversation that I would probably have. Related to it. Does that kind of dive in a little bit? The pronoun world is a total interesting thing.
It's an ocean and we just got a glass of water out of it.
And the thing that dawns on me, and I've just never actively considered it like this before, is especially as you're saying, well, this person only used the proper noun as their descriptor. And I'm like, well, that makes sense because the pronoun is really just obfuscating your identity altogether, right? Yeah. Like even if you get to choose the pronoun you want to choose, it's still not you. It's shorthand for your particular gender or disposition, which kind of takes me back to our phone call conversation, which is like, when I was a kid, I always used to answer the phone whenever it rang, didn't matter what it was, but I knew I had to do that. And now it's like, no, the phone is there for my convenience. It can ring as much as it wants. I will use it when I need to use it, or I will answer it when I choose to answer it. And that the thread I'm getting back to is that's what pronouns are really doing, is saying for the other party.
It's frozen.
I can hear you.
Like this.
He's still frozen.
Now both of you froze.
This is like that's what I like to do whenever someone freezes. I think it was like dubstep. It's like the beat's about to drop.
He's got the headphones and the microphone. You never know. It might happen. The beat might drop. Interesting. Interesting. I don't actually know what to do in this circumstance, so we'll just wait for him to come back because he's the producer. Hello, producer. Yeah. He's the one that like records, has all the.
We go rogue and then he has to listen to this later.
Yeah. I bet it'll still record. Now, what do we want to talk about?
It still records us. Like, I think it'll still record us.
We're still recording and this will upload to him. And he might still think he's talking. It's possible because it records locally on his and then uploads it. So, yeah, we can talk about anything we want to.
I know. I do think that whole like, I mean, now I'm like, do I get into it? I mean, like playing with like how it's evolved, I think is very interesting. Like, I wonder what gender and pronouns will be like 20 years from now.
I wonder that too.
You know, like in a good way. It's like, I wonder how it will evolve more. Like how I will, I think I do one thing that I do like to say around pronouns, because I do think it really upsets people and it's like, I'm not trying to harm you. And it's like, yeah, no, I know. Just like also make the effort to get it right. Like you're not going to get it right 100% of the time, but like it's a way to show up for someone. It's a way to see someone and delight someone. And I think with pronouns that gets missed a lot because it's like, well, you're confusing me. Like that's why I hear a lot from relatives. And I'm like, I'm asking you to show up for me. I'm not asking, you know, like it's a sign of love to like, I will say one thing I personally am trying to get better at is asking people. So even if I gather with a group of friends, like I ran like a quarantine Zoom call thing during COVID. And like every 4 or 5 months, because I knew a couple people on the call were like really exploring pronouns and stuff, that I would just ask. I'd be like, hey, can we do a little pronoun check? And getting comfortable asking like early on in a conversation, especially when meeting someone for the first time, like I'll never forget going to like a Thanksgiving party and this like who was in the military, this like buff guy who I never would expect, just turned to me. I was like, oh, I really want to introduce you to my wife. What do you pronounce her? It was just like so casual, so heartwarming. So like, I was like so taken aback that I was like, oh my God. I like totally stumbled. I was not used to being asked by that type of person. And that like really shows me how far things are coming and how it just is like a nice thing to ask people. And like, I think the problem is a lot of times, we have read from some folks in the queer community where it's like, oh, it's really upsetting to be asked all the time because it tells me I don't pass. So I think normalizing asking people who are like in no way affiliated with that, I think is also really important. Because you never know, first of all. And second of all, like, I think it is exhausting for someone who doesn't pass, who isn't binary.
It's totally microaggression. That, you know? It's not even a mic, it's a maxi aggression. I mean, for some folks, it really is.
Mm-hmm. And especially when this rise in asking pronouns, like the like predominant people who got asked were people who like quote unquote didn't fit. And it was like, oh my God, I'm exhausted. Like, I think that's part of probably why the pins popped up. Like it just became this like, oh my God, I don't know for sure about that, but I wouldn't be surprised if some people have started carrying around those pins more frequently because it is just like, I'm tired of being asked, which made me really sad. Like it's like people trying to show up, but like
we started providing them at conferences and using them at conferences and using the name on name badges at conferences, just for the reason of normalization, just completely because people shouldn't have to just assume that people are not going to misgender them. It's just,
that's a great normalizing of it. Like a standardized, everyone has this. Like it's just like, let's set it so people don't have to like figure out themselves, so to speak, or like have to advocate for themselves over and over again. Yeah, that's interesting. I like that.
I know a lot, I shouldn't give weight or balance or information to it. I know that there are many folks who feel insulted when they are asked for their pronouns because they just want it to be like the old days. Why do you have to ask? Clearly I'm a blank. Clearly I'm a blank. No, clearly, no, that's not how this works. Clearly you are, please share.
Please share.
And it's the same when someone says, I'm a cis woman. Oh my God, why would you say I'm a cis woman? That's so offensive. Why do you need to specify that? It's just a prefix.
It's just a prefix. Yeah.
It's just a prefix. No one's trying to hurt you with the pronouns or the prefixes. We're just trying to communicate clearly. Language has evolved, and so has our understanding of gender and sexuality and humanity.
I think it's such a kindness. Let the conversation evolve.
Yeah.
Just imagine it as like musical to you. It's like, oh, it's like a relief watching you when you get it. Like, I think that's like, and like, I think the other thing is when people talk about pronouns, it's like when you get it wrong, like don't make a big scene, just like fix it. Be like, oh, you're right. I'm so sorry. Say it right. And then move forward. Cause I think that's the other thing that I've seen happen. And I've done it personally. I think it's one of the things that's really interesting in part of the journey of like evolving and growing is like the ways in which, I could have done better in the past and like learning from that too. And I think that's something where I try to be very like understanding of that, like we're all evolving.
I hope so.
I
try to go with sincerely apologize and do better. You know, you can't just apologize again and again and again. If you keep making the mistake, you're making the mistake. It's hurtful. But apologize when it happens and do better in the future. I'm going to share a story. When you first started using she, they, and I don't know if you remember this conversation or not, but it was in a text-based format where you and I communicate. And I remember asking you which would you prefer? I use she, they, and you were like, oh, it doesn't matter, whichever one you feel like. And I wanted to throttle you. And I was like, no, it's not about my identity. It's about your identity. What do you want me to use? Because I've had the conversation with a few folks in the past where they're like, oh, whatever. I know you love me. I'm like, no.
Tell me.
Empower yourself. Tell me what to say. So I just want to throw that out there too. Like when people ask for your pronouns, it's because they care.
Also, like I do have a friend who loves to like, so radical, like basically any pronoun. Like right now I'll say she, her, like she will not give pronouns because she wants to see how other people perceive her. So she is very androgynous. So it is one of those things where like, depending upon it, you know, if they're in Utah probably will get like he, him a lot. And then if like, but if in New York City or like in LA, like it's more of a they, them. Like it's just super, and for her, it's like very much like a thought experiment. Like it's like, I think we're both pretty agender and feel similar about gender. But like, I don't, if someone kept calling me, the way I describe it, if someone kept calling me he, him, eventually I'd be like, yo. It's fine. I don't mean any harm, but like, I don't like that. And that's not like good to me. Like, it's fine if you do it a couple times, but like, that's not how I identify. And like, they, them doesn't all, you know, it's like, none of it feels great, but like, this is what feels good to me.
Yeah.
And that, my friend just thinks it's like hilarious, like a fun thought experiment, like way more gender fluid in that way. And way more like, I guess gender expansive is probably the better word, like enjoys playing with that dynamic and how like they're perceived and all that sort of stuff. It's very interesting. And like, luckily, like they haven't had, they've had some like bad encounters, right? Like someone thinks that they're talking to like a guy and then all of a sudden it's like, so there is like some danger to it too, which is sad to say. Yeah. It's a world we live in. Rick, you're back.
Welcome. I am back. Sorry.
Oh, you're back.
Sorry, I've been. Yeah. Technology. It is what it is.
Before we started this episode, one of my sincere, not concerns, but awarenesses was, what happens if Anne starts asking questions? Because Anne asks incredibly sincere, heartfelt, and deep, deep questions.
We all know how much I love answering questions.
Mm-hmm. So we're almost at the mark where we need to move on to our mildly interesting question segment. We haven't gotten to many of the things I wanted to talk to Anne about, but Anne, you've done such a good job not going off the rails and delving into our lives. I present to you another moment where you can ask Rick a question if you'd like to.
Oh, look at that. Technical difficulties yet again.
Wait, like a roster of questions that like sit in my brain rent free, as the kids say. This is a very complicated question, but we're gonna make it smaller. So normally I ask if you have seven lives, like if you were, what would those seven lives be, and like if you could play with every aspect, like where you grew up, gender, sexuality, profession, like whatever. But let's say you have like one other life, so we'll narrow it down. Like, what's like another, you have a whole other life to live. How would it, and like, imagine you know this, like you're living this life now and you're like, I can live a whole other life. And you get to like choose reincarnation style. Where does your brain go? And there's no like right or wrong, but I think it just says a lot of, you know, it's a good way to get to know someone.
I think that's a fascinating question. I think the response is probably more fascinating from someone who is younger. Like, I think the more mature and older I've gotten, like the more I've been like, oh no, that was my life. That was that was the decision that you made at that point in time. And it may not be the ideal of what you imagined, but it's brought you to this place in life that gives you these opportunities or has these challenges or whatever. So I don't know that I have a terribly well thought out or creative answer. All I can think of is
the judgment you're placing on the answer too. This is like very interesting in itself.
It's not going to be interesting at all. But like, I've always been curious about, well, I guess there are two lives I've been curious about. They may be a single life or not. One, what if I had remained in more, like, what if I remained in Southern Idaho instead of leaving it? Like, if I experienced my adulthood in Southern Idaho, would I now be a, you know, Republican, gun-toting conservative, or would I have continued along this more path of thinking and being more accepting and liberal in my thought? And then the other one, which you know, is quintessential as an athlete, I will not classify. Yeah. I will not classify you as a dumb jock like I am, but there's always that. Well, like yeah. if you just put in a few more hours of practice every day, like what was that life? Like what would that have been? I don't care. Like just a sport. Like I did so many sports. Like it could have been, could you have medaled at the Olympics in wrestling? Mm-hmm. Could you have, you know, continued? Like I was in Olympic development for soccer. Like if I just spent more time focusing on that, could I have been playing with Tony Miola and John Harkes in the World Cup, you know, or, you know, with like lacrosse, like, could I be playing pro lacrosse at some, like, it's just, it's one of those things where it's like, I always, took pride in the fact that I excelled at the level I was at, like, always gunning for the MVP, always on the all-star team, all those kind of things. But if I hadn't been satisfied with that and I had continued to push it like the best athletes do, like what would that life have been? That would be an interesting.
That would be it. Both of them are very interesting, like very also polar opposites in some ways. Yeah. I like the exploration of that, of both of those. Yeah, I sometimes wonder about that if I had never left Florida, like where I grew up in Florida. Like I've always, like, I think that's a great one. I've never thought about that. It's like, because I sometimes will ask this question and I've never, yeah, that's very interesting. The athlete one is so real. I just was playing pickup soccer yesterday. I was talking to some guys that I play with and I was like, did you ever want to go pro? And they were all like, oh yeah. Like it was everywhere. Yeah, I would have loved that. Like, and I remember when the NWSL started, the National Women's Soccer League, my friend who was just like, she's incredible. She's like one of the best athletes I've ever played with. And she was like Florida Gatorade Player of the Year, like just really wild athlete. And I was like trying to nudge her to join the NWSL. And like the league folded, like the last, you know, leagues would fold every 2 years, basically. It was like not a really viable pathway. So it's the longest lasting league they've ever had. And, I went and watched a game this past weekend, and one of the people that I marked to go had to play against for us to go to state finals was on the damn pitch, and I was like, man, like I had a moment where I was like, I marked you, and you were a forward then, now you're a defender. This would always happen, there's no way, like I was not good enough, and I knew that. But there also is like, what if I had just practiced and earned? Yeah, like that is really good. I like that.
Yeah.
What part of your personality would have changed and morphed? Like, I do think that is where, like, the situation doesn't affect us so much. Like, there's a world in which I never came out 100%.
Right.
Like, I totally think that's a lifetime, you know?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you, Cammy, for indulging me.
This is everything I'd hoped for. It was beautiful. It was so delightful. You can ask me questions literally anytime, but how often do you get to ask Rick questions? But, you know, maybe we'll get him to come hang out with us for a bit next time you're in town. We're going to move along. I'm going to go ahead, everyone. We've been trying to get Anne on the show since, you know, last season one. And one time they had to cancel, one time we had to cancel, back and forth. I think it probably goes without saying that we would love to have you back. There's so much to talk with you about. There's just so much to talk with you about, both on air and off. And so before we get into the mildly interesting question round, I just want to say, Anne, we'd love to have you back. And thank you so much for joining us. And I love you.
I love you too. And thank you so much for having me and for being patient with, like, I love people you can cancel with. And know that you'll connect again. That is like the best feeling. And I felt like that with this. And it just makes it so much easier to be present, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. All right. Anne McCarthy. Anne Guyon McCarthy.
Yeah.
I'm testing out Guyon.
It's cool. It's a cool, weird. I didn't respond to it, but I probably will.
I might test it out when I talk to you and see how you feel.
Like,
if you would like that. Okay.
Yeah,
I'm going to ask you some questions. The first four questions I ask every guest this season. the last question, I'm going to roll a 20-sided die. I'm going to show you the number, and then I'm going to go to my spreadsheet and pick a question that you're going to answer, and you won't know what it is.
Nerd. I love it.
Oh, yes, I am. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
What is one habit that you would like to pick up over the next year?
Oh. Trying recipes.
Ooh.
Just think, like, what is a daily thing that I can do to make my life better? And I cook so much at home. I don't really eat out that often. And so just trying new recipes. I get so into a rut. And that is something I was oddly better at during the pandemic that I feel like I need to go back to.
Nice. Question two. Would you rather know a little about a lot of things or a lot about one thing?
Okay. See, I'm with I can't remember the guy's name now, but I like to know, I know 3 or 4 areas really deeply,
mm-hmm.
but I don't like to know too much. I can't, if I go too far, it's not like meaningful enough. Like yeah. I want to know a couple areas really deeply. So I'm going to work that. Yeah.
Okay. Question number 3, what do you need from the grocery store?
Okay. Need or want? Want? More ice cream. I want some ice cream sandwiches. Tillamook ice cream sandwiches. I don't know if y'all have ever had
them. They're best.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Tillamook is pretty much the only ice cream we buy.
Is it? Okay. That actually makes me feel better. I'm new to the Pacific Northwest and I keep gravitating towards them. And it's like the chocolate chip mint one, the double, like the peanut butter chocolate. I've never had one.
Peanut butter chocolate.
Next level.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ruby Jewel too. If you have that up your way, Ruby Jewel.
Ruby Jewel.
And if you don't, we'll go to Ruby Jewel next time you're in town.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Question number 4. Would you like to survive the zombie apocalypse?
Hell no.
Nope.
No. Like I would be, yeah. I would definitely make it a little bit, I think. I would definitely get killed like midway through. Like I would totally, there'd be some level of survival would kick in and like, you know, pack everything in my Mini Cooper and go. But yeah, I think at a certain point I'd be like, you know what? This is just too much. Like I think it would be like some sort of meaningful way out. But yeah, no, yeah. I don't want to survive that fully. I don't think I'd be a good survivor of that.
Excellent. All right. Question number 5. I'm going to roll this die. It's gone behind my beverage. The question is number 19.
Oh,
number 19. It's yours. I don't know if you know that.
It's your fabulous parting gift.
There's an envelope with your name on it that is going to be sent to you. I'm going to send it out tomorrow while I'm doing errands. Yeah. As a guest. Yes, for real. This is your parting token. Yeah. All right, question number 19. What do you collect?
Okay, new collection. I mean, probably books, but okay, this is so freaking weird. Okay, so one of my favorite questions if I'm out on a beat where there's rocks is to ask someone to pick themselves up as a rock and then explain why that's their answer.
Mm.
So I have me as a rock.
Aww.
This is me as a rock. This is the person I'm dating as a rock.
Oh.
The wrong rock. And then this is my best friend, Steven. This is him as a rock. Yeah. Hi, Steven. And then this is another like very close childhood friend as a rock. And you'll see some like similarities with like, darkness happening over here. And then I have like a couple more people as a rock. And so it's very specific. It's not just like I collect rocks. It's like I want someone to intentionally pick out a rock that connects with their soul. And then I keep it.
That's nice.
So that's my weird collection. Just like rocks.
What a fortuitous question to land on with you.
I know, it's very funny. I hadn't really thought, but I do have like a collection of like 6 or 7 things behind me, or in front of me rather.
19. Lucky number 19. All right. Rick, you know the spiel. You're here. Wrap us up.
Let's hope I stay here throughout my entire monologue. We'll see if that works. And again, like we have been looking forward to this, have tried to do this a few times, really happy it finally happened. Abundantly clear that it needs to happen time and time again. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. like we've developed a show with a format that doesn't work for 4-hour conversations. Who knew? But at some point, we will continue the conversation. You bring an inherent thoughtfulness and energy mm-hmm. to every question you're asked, and you so just embody the response in such a meaningful and palpable way. I just want to thank you for bringing that part of yourself to this conversation. It's amazing to watch that in action, and I can absolutely understand why you wind up in probably multi-day long no sleep conversations with people. It's very clear why that might occur. So we do appreciate you taking the time to swing by and share at least a small sliver of that depth of conversation with us and the Mildly Interesting People audience. So thank you.
Thank you. And thank you for having me and creating a space where it feels safe to do that. I think it's not always something that can come out for me. So I appreciate it.
Cool.
Yay. Everyone said really eloquent things. And then I was like, yay.
Yay.
Anne, thank you. I'm so glad you were here. Other people.
It's nice
more interesting by yeah. by listening oh, to Anne. Yeah. It is. It's nice that you showed up. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. And I hope that we can do this again next week.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Let's say goodbye.
Should we sign off? Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Goodbye.
Good people. To see everyone. Thanks for coming. Thanks again, Anne.
Go be interesting. Bye.